I follow and obey Allah, one God only. Don't apply this now just religiously or just to the theology. No. In our religion, one God only is not taking deities who are seen as spiritual beings only in concern. No. It's taking everything in the focus that will oppress people and make people worship it or bow and bend and give up their virtues and everything to serve it. Any oppressive society becomes a deity when it denies the people the right to pursue their moral nature. Yes. So, dear beloved people, even before we became Muslims, when we held on to our humanity, when we kept the fear of God in us, we were still acting in the answer in fulfillment to the prophecy that Bilal stands for. We were acting in answer to that because we were saying in America, without leadership, without people looking after us, without people approving or giving their support to our humanity, when this society offered no support for our humanity, even under those conditions, we didn't accept to allow our humanity to be destroyed or to be abandoned or neglected by us. We still remained human. We still remained God-fearing. We kept our moral mind. Yes. So we refused to give up our souls and the principles that God has placed in our souls to worship any force that dominated us, or to give our allegiance support to any force that dominated us. We feared God. We kept the fear of God in us. We kept an appreciation for moral life in us. We survived. And today we stand up here in America, and we are called American Muslim Mission and Bilalians. And we are saying, only one God. Make no images. Get rid of all images that attempt to portray the divine. We're saying that to the world. And we're saying there's only one Allah. One Allah and one Allah only. The church, for the most part, has given up its Christianity. The church, for the most part, has given up its respect for Jesus. But the church is not hopeless, because now Bilal is advancing the respect for Jesus Christ. Bilal in America is still showing reverent respect for Jesus. Bilal in America say, I will defend the church right to remain a church. I will defend the preacher's right to preach his sermon without being disturbed by people who will go in, disrespect the sanctity of his place. Don't you know a Muslim is obligated to defend sacred houses wherein the name of God is pronounced against wild, crazy people who will disrespect the sanctity of those places? Yes, this is our Quran, and I preach that to you because that's my obligation as an imam, to preach you the message of the Quran. And it says to the Muslims that had God not raised up a people to meet the aggression of another people, synagogues, monasteries, churches in which the name of God is pronounced would have been torn down. So what is Allah saying to us? That we are obligated to defend the sanctity of the religious places of worship. Why? Because we believe in Allah. We believe in the prophet. These people say they believe in a prophet. They say they believe in Allah. Their concept is not exactly like ours.
But at least they say there's a God. And they respect the holy man, a prophet, Jesus. And they are trying to advance the light as they understand it. Then though we are not them, we identify in some degree with them. They are the people of the book. And Allah says in the Quran, you will find the nearest people to you to be those who call themselves Nazarene. That's the name of the original community, the old community of Christians in that part of the world. They call themselves Nazarenes. Jesus is called in the Bible a Nazarene. Nazareth, a man of Nazareth. So the Quran tells us that we are obligated to defend the houses of those people. And look in America. Here is a community growing and rising in America that is growing in the original tradition of the Ummah of Prophet Muhammad. Prophet Muhammad, when he was on this earth, he demonstrated that kind of respect for the sacred houses of worship of other people. Allah inspired him and guided him with the revelation, and he upheld the excellent example, the most excellent example. And after him came leaders who followed the same. There was one great leader who was invited to pray inside of a church by the head of that church. He was in a tour. He was touring the Muslim states. Churches were in the states. So he had to tour also. He was the leader of all the people. He had to also visit the Christian community. So he visited these Christian people, and he came to the church, and the leader of the church said, "We would like for you and your people to pray in our church." Now, you know that's acceptable to us. The Quran and Islam tells us that we can pray in their places of worship and they can pray in our place of worship. You see? So this is accepted. But the imam, this leader, he refused to accept it. He was a statesman for the Muslim state. The leader for the Muslim state. He refused to accept it. And you know why he refused? What his reasoning was? He said, if I pray in this church, I fear that your invitation will result in your church becoming a mosque. Being the head of the state, he said, if I pray in your church, Muslims will come here commemorating this occasion, and they will pray in your church. And by us being in the majority, your church will become a mosque. So he told the Muslims, let us pray on the grounds of the church, near the church, pardon me, in the surround, right near the church, near their property. He said, but not in the church. He prayed there. And just as he told the church leader, that's exactly what happened. The Muslims got and built a mosque right where he prayed. Yes, to commemorate that event that he prayed at that site. So they built a mosque there. And the Muslims had that place. They followed. They commemorated that event, prayed in that house for him, for blessings, and etc. See how wise he was? But see how broad he was in his thinking. See how he didn't move out of just narrow interest for the propagation of Islam. But he had respect for his obligation to preserve, respect, and protect the right of the Christian to remain a Christian and to preach and live their religion in peace. The original communique of Prophet Muhammad, when he established a new government, the first government in Medina, you know what it declared? No Jew shall be denied the right of worship in this state. No Christian, no Jew shall be denied the right of to practice their religion of worship in this state. He guaranteed the right to those people. Now, some of us coming from the old mind, and even from some of these others, The Orthodox world, I think they are as nation of Temple of Islam as some of us were, in some respect.
Oh, what are you talking about? That ain't right. Man, I'm talking about text on church. Got to get rid of those churches. We ain't supposed to protect no church. They're Kafirs.
If they're Kafirs, why would Allah say in the Quran, they're the people of the book? Of the book mean the people who follow scripture, revelation. If they're Kafirs, why would Allah tell us in the Quran that whether you be Christian, Jew, Sabian, or something else, if you believe in God and do good, your reward is with Allah. Excuse me. Just bear patiently with me here. I got a little head cold. I had head cold before I left Chicago. And I said I'm going to Newark so I can get rid of it. So it's breaking up nicely. I'm getting rid of it. Yes. So dear beloved people, Allah says in His Quran that the Christian people are believers. And the Jewish people are believers. But it's not Kafirs, believers. But He says, among the Jews, you will find a party that are hypocrites, that work against Allah. Yes. And we know that there's a party among our people that are like that. Yes. But there is a party among them that are sincere. And Allah tells us in the Quran, there is a party among the Jews that are sincere, and the Christians that are sincere. So you will find the Christians so sincere that you'll find them praying and weeping in their prayers. This is what Allah tells us in the Quran. And He tells us that you'll find the closest people to you to be those who call themselves, and the translator says, Christian. Because Nazarene means Christian. Nasara is the Arabic term. It means Christian. So He didn't say Nazarene. He said Christian in the translation. But I said Nazarene because some of you know-it-all people have recently learned about 4 or 5 words in Arabic. And he can't speak any more English. He's forgotten how to speak English. Yes, brother, I heard the imam last night. I heard the imam, he said that the Quran says that Allah called the Christian believers. It does not say Christian. The word is Nasara. Nasara is the Nazarene. So you see why I talk so long? It's because I got some funny people in the audience sometimes. Well, I hope we can understand what the Muslim identity is. The Muslim is a well-rounded, universal human person. The Muslim represents the universal human being. He has accepted the universal humanity of man. The Muslim is the one who has accepted that there is no classifying of people on the basis of color or nationality. No, the Muslim is the best person is a universal human being. How can a Muslim be a racist? How can a real Muslim be a racist? And it beats me, I'm telling you, I can't understand how an African-American can be a racist. No people on this earth have been abused and mistreated by people with racist conscience or racist mentality than we have. We are the people who have suffered most under racism. How can we be racist? Oh, Imam, didn't you used to be a black Muslim? Didn't you used to call all white folks devils? Yeah, but it was never in my subconscious. It was always in my conscience. It never found root in my subconscious. My subconscious never accepted that. And thanks be to God, I had a little help from the old teaching. Yes, the old teaching says, a white Arab is not a devil. The old teaching says, a white Yugoslavian is not a devil. The old teaching says, the white Turk is not a devil. The old teaching says, the white mother of Mr. Farrar is not a devil. Man, I'm telling you, you know, I got a long, long rescue rope. But some of these Pharisees are so far out, I can't throw my rope to them. Good God Almighty. Dear beloved people, I won't leave you in the dark. I'm talking about Minister Farrakhan. He's gone farther out at sea. You heard tell of that biblical figure who had a mission on land, and he went out at sea and was on deck with the gamblers, and the gamblers wouldn't let him into their game, so he went down into the hull of the boat among the cargo and got down there and went to sleep. And God caused a storm to come upon the sea, and the boat got to tossing and tumbling, and the people who were gambling, their conscience came alive, and they began to wonder if maybe God was punishing them for something. And they say, well, hell, he wouldn't be doing all this because of gambling. There's something else wrong with this boat. And they finally found the real cause. There he was, the man that God missioned to go and call the people of Nineveh, was sleeping down there in the material goods. So God rocked the boat and excited the people that owned the boat, and they threw him out of the boat into the raging sea, and a whale came along and swallowed him. Well, I'd be glad when the whale swallow my friend. Because there's more hope in the whale than there is out there on the raging sea. The whale is only symbolic
The well is only symbolic of your spiritual conscience. See, Jonah was on the boat in the hull of the ship where they keep the cargo. He was in his material conscience. So God caused trouble for him in his material conscience and threw him out there in the spiritual water. And he got swallowed up by the big fish in the spiritual water. The biggest fish in the spiritual water is the spiritual conscience. You see? It swallow up spiritual ideas, smaller things. That's in the sea. Yes. So, in his spiritual conscience, he remembered his duty. And he cried out to God. And he said, oh God, this is Jonah down here. I'm in trouble. So God calls the fish to carry him to the shore where he was supposed to have been already. Take him back into society where he's supposed to have been. Now, he didn't want to be in society. He couldn't accept to be in society. Why? Because Jonah, he was above them. Thought he was supreme, superior to them. He didn't want to go back to society. He's out there on the boat. Got materialistic. So the whale takes them back to the Nineveh, to the shores of Nineveh, and pukes them out. What that tells you? That the real spiritual conscience can't stomach that kind of person. Yeah, you're a nasty thing in my mouth. Failed your mission, you let your mind go to materialism, and didn't go to do your work in the world, and now you've fallen now into the spiritual consciousness. I can't stand you. Get out of me. Get into the world and do your job. And that's how what your conscience will do. When you've neglected, and once you come awake to your conscience can't stand the sin that you've done. And your conscience will force you to go on and do something to rectify that. Right? Oh, yes. And if your mission was the thing that brought you to the sin, to the crime, to the moral crime, then you have to get back in your mission. We have a mission. Our mission is not to live in our little narrow, small world of the temple, or the mosque, as we call it, the proper name for it. Our mission is to be an example in society. We have to live with people who don't know the mission. We have to support the good efforts and the good concerns of people who are not Muslims. Why? Because Allah says in his Quran, you are the community that I have raised up to be an example to mankind. Yes. Allah says that he has raised the community of Muslims up as an example, as a witness. As a witness. Linnah. That means for all people. For all people. So can you live in your little private world and say, oh, this is not for them. This is for black people. This is only for blacks. I'm the Muslim leader for blacks. There should be a court to protect our precious religion from people like W.D. Farrar, who will take that precious religion and disrespect it, mutilate it, bring it down, bring its dignity down to racism, to a black man's religion. That's a shame. Oh, Jesus gonna sack him dead. He just talked about our Savior. Jesus will sack him dead. At first resurrection, most of me have forgot. You know, getting mixed up. You know, used to be Jesus, you know. Used to be Jesus. And since he hasn't been listening to the army Elijah Muhammad every fourth Sunday, he done got mixed up now. Farad and Jesus getting mixed up for him. Man, better be careful talking about our Savior. Jesus gonna sack him dead. I know what you know not. That's right. Allah knows what you know not, and He has blessed me to know much that you know not. Yes. Dear beloved brothers and sisters, is there any of you among us here in this audience today who still believe literally what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught? You should be ashamed of yourself. You should be ashamed of yourself. In the light of the truth that is seen in the world today, coming from this leadership, you should be ashamed of yourself. I can see a people being tricked. I can see us innocently buying another Jesus Christ in the person of W.D. Farrar. I can see that. But when someone come and tell you the plain truth and speak to your original nature and show you beyond a shadow of a doubt that Farrar Muhammad just reinforced the weakness in us to worship other than ourselves, you should give it up. Yes. It's a shame. Don't you know you're not doing a people a favor by taking a Jewish, a Semitic white image off of them and then putting an Arab white image on them? What is the difference? Tell me, what is the difference? The Savior in Jesus Christ, who they show us looking like a Semitic Jew, are blue-eyed Caucasian, depends on who what artist drew his picture. And the straight-haired Farrar that we saw on the picture today paraded out there. Well, you held his picture up, you paraded him. Yes, I did. Certainly I did. It's necessary to bring him first down to man level. You don't bring no spirit to court. You don't bring no God to court. You have to first bring him down to man level, then bring him to court. So a few years ago in New York, we had a demonstration there, and we included Farrar Muhammad in with the leader, with Garvey, with Marcus Garvey, with Noble Jew Ali, with the leader, bringing him down to human level. Last year, in February, we brought the man to court. And we found him guilty of reinforcing white supremacy. He was found guilty of reinforcing white supremacy under the guise of black supremacy. And we have kicked his ass. Oh, you know Imam and use a language like that. I'm the best imam you got going on this earth. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Look, I was born in America. I wasn't educated out of America. All of my schooling came in America, almost all of it, under the schools established under the leadership of Honorable Elijah Muhammad, which was called University of Islam. I learned from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad leadership, teaching, and example. I learned from the wife of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, her innocence, her sincerity, her devotedness, her devoutness, and her love and respect for her husband. Her fearless commitment to her husband and his mission. I learned from them. I learned from tiny Muslims in our community who were sincere, steadfast, and upright. I learned from Minister Malcolm, from Minister Sultan Kareem of Milwaukee before his time. I learned from the great ministers of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I learned from Minister James Shabazz, who's now Sheikh Abdulaziz Shabazz of Kansas City. I learned from them in school. I learned from their preaching. I learned from the sisters. I learned from the brothers. I learned from the young. I learned from the old. I was living with Honorable Elijah Muhammad for the time that he was free in Chicago, observing him daily. Oh, yes. I learned from all of them. Allah guided me, who was raised in that environment, who got all of his elementary and secondary education in that environment, who went with that education and took the GED test, and scored high on the nationwide GED test with that schooling. Why? Because I wanted to live up to the standards that we advocated. I wanted to be like most of you. I wanted to be true to the standards that we placed upon our own selves. You see? So I passed. I got it. I applied myself. I did a lot of self-study to advance myself. I sat under the same teacher that Donnell Kareem sat under in Chicago, that my young brother Akbar sat under in Chicago, Professor Jamil Diab from Jerusalem. Same teacher, Sister Rosalind, who's called Sister Jahera, sat under. I was in the class, student right along with them. I didn't get the top mark all the time. Some of them got better marks than me sometimes. Akbar was ahead of me more than I was ahead of him. Sometimes Donnell Kareem got better marks than me. Sometimes Brother Leroy, who was in our class, got better marks than me. But I stuck with it. I passed right along. It's with the upper class. In the upper class. Not the top, but in the upper class. I never went to Ashard for education. I've had a few months lessons under Muhammad Abdullah of San Francisco, but not in Arabic, very little in Arabic, mostly in Urdu, because he speaks Urdu too. And since my Arabic was better than his Arabic, why should he teach me Arabic? So I learned Urdu. I was studying Urdu from him. I didn't know Urdu, any Urdu at all. And his Quran reading was better because he was in the habit of reading the Quran, although my pronunciation was better. But he was more familiar with it. He would read Quran, we read Quran together. And another teacher, Professor Farrar. A few lessons from him, not much. Most of the other students had more lessons than I did from him. We had about four or five teachers to teach us Arabic in the whole time that I was doing it. And most of them, they had more time with those people than me. But who now is teaching the Arabic and the Quran to the others? It is me, this one. Oh, he's trying to praise himself. He wants us to worship him. You're crazy. If I wanted you to worship me, I wouldn't come out here like this. Why, I'd be dressed up like a sheikh of Arabic. I know how to get you to worship me. I have to look like a star. They once had a singer. His name was the Duke of Earl. Now, if I come out here like the Duke of Earl with my robes and walking like a king, I know how to get you to worship me. Worship me, you see? So if you think I'm trying to get you to worship me, you got to be crazy. You know this ain't the way people come when they want you to worship them. So, why now? Why me?
Why not Daniel Faree? Why not Akbar Muhammad? Why me? Why not somebody else who was there and got the studies and learned Arabic? Why not them?
Maybe you're more familiar with it. He would read Quran, we read Quran together. And another teacher, Professor Farrar, a few lessons from him, not much. Most of the other students had more lessons than I did from him. We had about four or five teachers to teach us Arabic in the whole time that I was doing school. And most of them, they had more time with those people than me. But who now is teaching the Arabic and the Quran to the others? It is this one. This one. Oh, he's trying to praise himself. He wants us to worship him. You're crazy. You're crazy. If I wanted you to worship me, I wouldn't come out here like this. Why, I'd be dressed up like a sheik of Araby. I know how to get you to worship me. I have to look like a star. They once had a singer. His name was the Duke of Earl. Now, if I come out here like the Duke of Earl with my robes and walking like a king, I know how to get you to worship me. Worship me, you see. So if you think I'm trying to get you to worship me, you've got to be crazy. You know this ain't the way people come when they want you to worship them. So, why now? Why me? Why me? Why not Daniel Faree? Why not Akbar Muhammad? Why me? Why not somebody else who was there and got the studies and learned Arabic? Why not them?
Because you're the honorable Elijah Muhammad's son.
So was Akbar. And his name is Akbar, which means the greatest, the greater. His name means the greater. Akbar means greater. And they translated in English, greatest. You see? So why not Akbar? Me. Akbar speaks fluent Arabic. I can. He can hold a conversation, fluent Arabic conversation. Gives his lectures, Arabic. I can't do that. But I can read Quran. Yes, why me? He went to Ashard. I didn't. Why me? I got a cousin, Jamil Diab. He went to Ashard. Why me? Why couldn't it have been Farrakhan? Why not Farrakhan? Why me? Why me, Lord? Why me? I can't help it. No, I can't help it. Allah has decided this. Yes. He decides. Divine providence has made it this way. We can't help it. I think you deserve the best. And you got it. There are others that excel me in many ways, but there's none that I'm ready to turn you over to. No, indeed, because they don't stand up morally strong enough yet. The leader to lead a people in the trouble that we are in must be a strong moral example. And his concerns must be just. He can't be selfish in his concerns. He can't favor somebody because they gave him $50 yesterday or because they gave him $50,000 yesterday, or because they helped him accomplish something, or they will defend him against his enemies. No. They are in his clique. No. He can't favor somebody because they appeal to him spiritually or sexually. No. He has to be willing to just die to the world so he can live his mission. Yes. You have to be willing to die to the influence of the material things in the world to live a role and a mission. Yes. And to be truthful with you, those persons that I know that didn't get this job, I know them personally. I know for a fact they don't deserve this job. They don't deserve it. Oh, but Farrakhan, he's so much more educated. He's so articulate. He speaks so eloquently. I know. Believe me, I know. But if I would turn you all over to him, I could come right back after he make his first talk and not only get what I had before he made the talk, but I'll get more. I didn't single Farrakhan out to pick on him. There's Uncle John in Detroit. There's Silas, the prophet like Moses, who got his revelation from a break of wind somewhere. Kushmir. Who is a cushion for somebody to sit on. And the others, I know. I didn't single him out to talk about him. But I have to say something about him because the Jacobite is using him to keep this mission divided. He is popular. He means more to them than Silas. Silas is not well known by the people. John Muhammad, he's not known by the people. They need a popular person who the world knows. The Americans know. They want to say, yes, he's leading the Muslims, but what about the Farrakhan? He's a spokesman for all of Elijah Muhammad. What about these Muslims? So that is to keep the American people confused. Well, who they have the, well, there's his son who left him, and he's a Muslim, but he follows the Orthodox. But you know, there are other Muslims who still follow the old leader, his father. Farrakhan, he leads another group of Muslims. And they know what kind of thing they instigated to bring about a fear in the decent citizens of this country, a fear to identify with us, thinking that maybe any time we'll jump up and shoot each other. They gave us a record of violence and crime, to frighten the decent people away from Muslims, to frighten them away from this religion. They plan. Allah plans. Allah is the best of planners. I'm not going to keep you here all night. I promise you, if this hand gets near 12 o'clock, I will stop right in the middle of the sentence and walk out. Dear beloved people, it's no coincidence that I was on the way to speak in one city, Farrakhan on the way to speak in another, in the same direction, doing the same time. That happens often. They want to keep this divided community before the public. See, they are not united, they're divided. There's one leadership here, there's another leadership there. And the situation is dangerous. They might attack each other. You know, they killed Malcolm. You heard of their violence? So decent people, they shy away from us. Fred, but Allah will allow these things. Excuse me. He will allow these things because his plan is to embarrass those who plot to discredit this great mission. Farrakhan, he's not the chief. He is a tool. He's just an instrument. That's all. The chief behind that thing is somebody else. A bigger party, a bigger force. Oh, yes. Dear beloved brothers and sisters, we have grown too big for that mind that was given to us yesterday. I'm not talking about just us. The world has grown too big for that mind that was given to us yesterday. There's no place in the world anymore for narrow